news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Adjust your attitudes, claw your mandibles, shine your wizards, and clutch your camels. We are talking wrestling for your entertainment, never the other way around. This is episode number 6 of The Rexplex. We are just 4 shows short of the huge 10th episode anniversary blowout. That's going to be a huge show, something to look forward to. No show last week, as it was Thanksgiving. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, got to spend time with your families, if so, and if not, I still hope you enjoyed yourself. All overseas listeners, I hope you had a great week. It is wonderful to be back on RantEMRadio.com, my home. Couldn't be more proud to be a part of a great, great group of broadcasters. Maybe a goop. Sometimes it gets a little messy. Tuesday, it got a little messy. We got into it with the whole CM Punk situation, which is probably a reason why I'm not going to get into it too much, or I'll at least try not to. My Thanksgiving was good. It was good. Got to see most of my family. A fun-loving family. Very interesting family. More about that later as I slowly bring in weird family members as guests. It's probably never going to happen. But you can follow on Twitter at The Rexplex. You can like us on Facebook. Search The Rexplex. There is a group page coming very, very soon. You can email us, TheRexplex@gmail.com. I am always open to answer any questions. You could even send hate mail if you'd like. It's all welcome. You can listen to this program on rantemradio.com Thursdays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central. It is great to be a part of this family. As I have already said, I was so frustrated yesterday. Probably my favorite band is, 311. And they're doing some special surprise shows here because they love New Orleans. And my whole day was planned around getting these pre-sale tickets. I was on the page, all ready to go. Ready to go at 3. It said, at 3. 3 said, refresh the page. Refresh the page. All tickets have been sold out. I was furious, but I said, hey, I got 2 more chances. And I'm going to get into that damn concert. Like it or not. On top of that, I will also be going to a Raw very soon. I forgot the exact date, but Brock Lesnar is advertised to be at this Raw. So where should I start? I guess I'll start with Sting, since I never got to speak on that. So Sting made his, I wouldn't necessarily in-ring debut. He showed up at Survivor Series, entered the ring, and helped Team Cena secure the victory over Team Authority. And already there is so much speculation, which should be expected, but please, just give the whole Sting thing some time to play out, please. He was at Survivor Series because WWE needed a rabbit to pull out of their hats. And now he's with the company. We should be happy about that, so all I ask is just be patient. But that's the gist of it. be happy that Sting is finally on the big stage. He was the one holdout. He was the one to never cross over, and now he is going to be with the WWE. It looks like this will be where he retires and will eventually go into the Hall of Fame. A lot of people have already said that they think it'll be this year. I'm almost sure, gut instinct telling me that it's going to be next year that he gets inducted, because the initial report was that his appearance was fully intended to set up a WrestleMania 31 match. And I'm sorry for all you fantasy bookers and dreamers, it's not going to be against The Undertaker. And I think the main reason for that is because that would be a horrible match. 10 years ago, would have been great, would have been perfect. But it's 10 years too late now. So what we're going to get is Triple H against Sting at Mania. You may disagree, but it was and is the smarter move. Be thankful that we have the Stinger in WWE. And now, I'm starting to wonder if Raw has been bad on purpose. Because to be honest, I think there is a lot of lazy writing and a lack of creative. And until we're on the road to WrestleMania 31, this will possibly and most likely continue to be the trend. Not saying that the shows are horrible. It's just, if you add it all up, the things that have gone down, it's kind of embarrassing. But this always tends to happen around this time of year, but not on this level. You know, the animals, too many animals. This is way too many animals. You have, plus I've already complained about the Kathy Lee, Hoda thing. There's misuse of certain talent. I'm just not as much into the product as I normally should be. And I don't think I'm the one to blame. And this is unusual for someone who spends so much free time, so many of my free hours consuming wrestling. From as far back as I can find footage, from way back in the day, to checking out the future guys on the indie scene. Now, people have already asked me, I will be giving my brief thoughts on Punk and Cabana and Austin's interview with Vince just a little later, but if you want to hear more in-depth and at times heated debate, listen to the last episode of The Rant, where myself, Double A, Tony C, Surfer, and Lee, we went about an hour and a half analyzing every angle of this whole situation. But yeah, Raw. Do we really need Larry the Cable Guy? No shirt, Rey Mysterio mask. The dude is an act. And this is weird for me to say, because this is a wrestling program. This dude is a pure gimmick. He sucked at comedy when he was not doing his gimmick. And he sucks at comedy when he is doing the gimmick. And his jokes are not funny. I do not find, hey, guess what I left in my truck? What? This. That's not a funny joke to me. I even took slight exception to the horrible Savage in Florida joke. And speaking of Savage, check out the documentary. It was nice to see at least somewhat truthful story of the man, finally, after all these years. Scotty, listener and writer to the show, often writes in from Canada. He was the one who brought this to my attention before the release of the documentary. But I just wonder, there was one part where they left it open to speculation as to why he was never brought back. And following that, they showed a video clip where Savage is saying he's going to take out Hogan, he's going to take out Triple H, and then he is going to take Stephanie McMahon from Triple H's arm. So they left the Stephanie thing all up in the air. I think this was clearly done on purpose. This video of him saying this was shot right after the crossover of the WCW stars to WWE. And I felt sympathy for Randy. He needed a proper send-off, and he never got one. So that just sucks. It was nice to see he married his high school sweetheart, and how things came full circle. He found happiness. but the man needed a proper send-off, and that should have been in the WWE. One thing I found interesting was when, this goes back to the Austin-Vince interview, when Austin asked Vince if Savage would be inducted into the Hall of Fame, Vince said yes, with no hesitation whatsoever. But like I said, I will speak more on that in just a bit. Okay, looks like we're getting a call. Music can mean only one thing. Yes, and that music can mean only one thing. I have Mr. Heatseeker himself on the line. Rage, what is good?
Same old shit, just another damn day.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Welcome back to the Rexplex, my dude.
What's up? I'm of course, I'm always glad to be on the show.
Yeah, I don't give you shit. This is the only show you don't get angrily outraged.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
This is the only show where I can truly, where rage can truly be rage.
Well, I'm glad. I'm happy for you. You can
Thanks,
do it yourself. Do you have any thoughts on the Punk thing? I pretty much said, I don't really want to talk about it because everyone's talking about it. Just give a few abbreviated things on with the Austin and Vince interview and the Punk and Colt Cabana interview.
Uh-huh. So, I watched the Stone Cold podcast, you know, yesterday. I thought it was very good. I thought Vince was breaking some kayfabe. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, then the whole, you know, CM Punk thing is now being like discussed like throughout the network, and I heard a little bit of the debate you guys had Tuesday on the Ring.
Yeah.
So here's the conclusion I'm gonna draw from this, and if you know me, like, you pretty much know where I'm going with this.
Are you picking sides?
I'm gonna choose a side on this, and I believe wholeheartedly, to this day, that WWE still screwed CM Punk over.
I agree.
And
a lot of people were disagreeing on Tuesday with Lee and I.
But it's like, people act like, you know, people say, oh, good riddance, Punk is gone, I hope he never comes back. What bullshit. People don't want to admit it, but CM Punk, from him leaving, made such a huge difference on the way WWE is now. Huge difference. Like,
they had to scramble and get their shit together and completely change WrestleMania.
WrestleMania was like set in stone a year or two ago. He leaves and now, like, it was just like a chain reaction of shit just went south. And, you know, to their credit, WWE still had a great WrestleMania. I'm not gonna take that away from them.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the best in years. Definitely.
Definitely. Like, but they can't, but WWE, especially Vince, cannot sit there and say what they did to him was wrong. First of all, they let go of the man on his wedding day. Like, that is the coldest thing Vince.
Yeah, I have more about that I wanted to say.
Like, he pretty much fired the man on his wedding day. That's the kind of person that Vince McMahon is, or kind of company WWE is. Then that should tell you right there. Second of all, CM Punk was to me the most underrated of, like, years ago. He was one of the most underrated talent that they had on their roster.
They're coming to get him again. They're coming to get you. You better watch what you say.
Like, he has all the talent in the world. He has such, he has great mic skills, and they just kept tossing him to the side. It took, he, the man won two Money in the Bank ladder matches, won a world title, and he was still treated as, you know, as a mid-card talent. He's the, look, we all know that the World Heavyweight Championship, SmackDown's World Heavyweight Championship, really didn't mean much. It was the second belt. And I get that. But CM Punk won a major title. And,
you know, longest reigning champion of the modern era.
Yeah, the, he's the longest reigning WWE champion, longest reigning WWE champion in the modern era. And he's still being tossed. I bitch about this all the time. The guy had to drop the title to The Rock. And they needed The Rock to help sell. Was it WrestleMania 29?
It was. Yeah, it was 29.
It was 29, right? They needed him to help sell WrestleMania 29 when they had a whole lot of other guys they could have used that they within time they could have built up and made a good card, a good WrestleMania card out of. But they needed The Rock, and CM Punk suffered for that. He had to drop his title to this guy, a fucking part timer who really is not business anymore.
Yeah, I think CM Punk had really valid points by saying, okay, you want me to lose to The Rock. You want me to lose to Brock. You want me to lose to Taker. But I'm the guy who's going to be on TV next Monday. You're downgrading my character and you're lowering my stock. I agree.
He had to lose to a part-timer, Brock Lesnar. And, you know, here's the thing. I'm not going to... The whole... Him losing to The Undertaker, look... It was set in stone. Look, to me, I knew he wasn't going to beat The Undertaker, but he still had a fantastic match against
him. Yeah, that was the best match of that main match.
Probably one of his best matches ever. But he had to drop, he had to lose and have his character downgraded by losing to horrible people and get thrown into such shitty storylines. CM Punk deserves better than that.
He deserves better.
A whole lot of other people on that roster today deserve better.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
They keep dropping, like they're constantly dropping the ball on great talent. Like when is enough enough? And CM Punk just like, I don't blame him. Like the business that he loved fucked him over, so he left, and I don't blame him.
And going back to the whole wedding thing. Okay, Vince said he hugged Punk the Monday that he left, and Punk said that he was hurt. Now, if Punk being as important as he was to the company at that time, do you not think they could have worked out some kind of deal where they could give Punk time off to heal up? Punk said it himself. He said, oh, okay, I might have to miss WrestleMania, but I'll be healed by that time if they give me time off. But they weren't willing to do that, and that goes to the company. And I'm never going to choose, say, oh, the huge corporation, the billion-dollar traded corporation is in the right, and the single lone guy is the one who's just telling all the bullshit. I don't buy that.
No, I'm not going to buy that. I'm not buying that at all.
And it got real twisted. Like Vince said, getting Punk in his severance papers on his wedding day was a coincidence.
I think they planned that shit.
There is no. I worked at a very dingy little shitty ass pizza joint. There was hardly any organization or foundation. It was dirty, but I can promise you, they would have the foresight, this pizza place, to give someone the bad news, who was helping them a lot. During a special time, they wouldn't give them bad news by coincidence. They would wait or do it beforehand. Yet, this publicly traded company is like, oops, coincidence. I think the company would have their shit together better than this dingy little pizza place I worked at, because they didn't make mistakes that big. So why can't WWE, like, have better timing? I don't. That can't be a coincidence.
I think it shows what I think it shows how like really cutthroat WWE can be.
Yeah, very much so. They've always been cutthroat.
The whole situation showed how cutthroat they can be. They, you know, they show that, you know, look, WWE's going to keep on moving. I understand that. Like, there's going to be, people are going to come and go. People are going to make the names of themselves, make names of themselves, and some won't. But, you know, you can't just have great talent on your roster. And I know your writing team sucks, and I know, but it's like
they're really lazy right now.
They are lazy. They have like they're so fucking lazy right now.
And they honestly should be busting their asses to improve the product. And it sounds like they're just sitting on their hands, just tossing out whatever.
Taking it like. This shouldn't be a pattern. Like, you shouldn't have like spurts at the year, like different like times in the year when business just decides to pick up. You know, your best writing doesn't always have to be at WrestleMania. It doesn't always have to be at WrestleMania. Like every fall doesn't have to be this slow, with the exception of maybe this year because Survivor Series was pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, like this is lazy. And when is WWE gonna just wait? Like, when is the time? When is the day gonna come where WWE just flies out, just wakes up, and just I don't get it. And then another thing like that really frustrated the hell out of me. And you mentioned this Tuesday also, is what Vince had to say about Cesaro. Like, Cesaro is one of the strongest guys on the roster. He is great on the mic. He speaks, like you said, he speaks a ton of different languages. He has an accent, but for some reason they can't find.
Yeah, you agreed with me on. You agree with me with what I said about Cesaro on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this is the quote. This is what Vince said. Cesaro has no charisma. He has a lack of mic skills, and hey, maybe it's because he's Swiss. Because he's Swiss?
No.
I would ask Vince, have you not seen Cesaro in the Indies? He had crowds' attention full.
I don't think he has.
I don't think he has either. But in the Indies, whether he was face or heel, he would make the crowd go, yeah, he had this whole, hey, and the whole crowd would go, hey, back, and he was 100% over. He could be funny, and he could be serious, and he could cut promos. I've seen him at Shikara with a crowd of 100 at most, and he still blew up that crowd with comedy. But then again, maybe Vince had a point. Maybe it's because he's Swiss, damn it.
I feel like Vince doesn't pay attention to... to his indie talent. No. I feel like Vince doesn't. I don't think Vince pays much attention to any of the talent that's on NXT, any of the rising talent that's on his roster. On the main roster. I don't think Vince cares.
I don't think so.
I think Vince. I don't mean okay. I still don't mean to be a dead horse, but I think Vince has his head so far up John Cena's ass that's all he cares about. He does not want. I don't think he wants anybody else to be the face of the company. He doesn't want to bring anybody else up. He wants to keep John Cena as the face. But we all know that Cena's career, like, he's building. The injuries are building up. Cena doesn't have that much time left. He has maybe 3 or 5 years, maybe, left in the WWE. And when he leaves, who is he going to... Who is he gonna make as the face? Who's gonna represent that company? And Vince doesn't really care because he still thinks John Cena's gonna be there. I think the one that's really paying attention. I think the one that's really looking out for us when it comes down to who we know is talented and who we know can wrestle, who can talk, is Triple H.
Yeah.
Triple H, I mean, he signed Prince Devi. He signed Kevin Steen. He signed, the fuck is the Japanese guy's name?
Kenta.
I'm blanking out on
Kenta.
He signed Kenta. I heard some other names you guys were talking about on Saturday.
See, 3 weeks ago, I think it was, or maybe 4 weeks ago on this show, I said, we ran through the PWI 500, and we came across Uha Nation. And he's a guy who I said, if I had my own promotion, I would make him a top guy. He would be a big deal. And just a couple days ago, they signed him to a developmental deal.
Even Serra Del Rey. How dare they make Serra Del Rey? How dare you?
Yeah, you know me and Lee take exception with that.
And make her into a fucking trainer. Is that, like, that's all you think she's good for?
And me and Lee were talking about this.
Don't give a fuck.
Me and Lee were talking about this. Are they trying to take top indie guys off so they can have them off the indie scene, but then not even really use them? What's his name? Sammy Callahan, Solomon Crow. We haven't seen anything of him, and it's been almost 2 years.
You feel like WWE is trying to kill the indies?
Well, I feel like they're doing on a smaller scale of what Vince initially did when he took all the top guys from the territories. It's just a different era that we're in, and it's kind of the same thing.
I really feel like he's trying to kill off the indies. I don't mean to be a conspiracy theorist, but I think him grabbing such, you know, high-profile names from these.
El Generico, Steen.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan, Cesaro. You're taking Kenta, Prince Devitt, and now Uha Nation. I'm not sure what happened with Willie Mack. I told you my theory. It's either because they don't like his stomach or that he smokes, and maybe he failed a drug test.
I really feel like he's trying to, like, really kill the indie scene, especially ROH. Trying to kill ROH.
And what do you think about Vince referring to up-and-comers as millennials? And he said, this era of guys and gals are not ambitious or trepidatious enough. Basically saying younger and newer talent need to work harder, go the extra mile, and be more vocal. The guys clearly do not want to be more vocal in fear of losing their position on the card, or even worse, being released. Drew McIntyre? You remember Drew McIntyre, the chosen one?
Yep.
He was supposed to be the chosen one. He spoke up, said, why am I doing this dark matches and bottom of the card?
It's the paradox.
Boom, he's gone now. He's the current Evolve champion now.
That's the paradox that's going on. That's the current paradox that's going on.
And then he said the brass ring thing. None of these guys are trying to grab the brass ring. I think everybody will try to grab the brass ring. I'm just wondering when the ladder match is going to be for this brass ring.
Exactly.
And what pissed me off the most, and I'll let you go. I'll speak on this. He said the only one to really reach out and grab the brass ring is, you guessed it, John Cena. Once again, bullshit.
That really made me laugh. It's like, first, him calling the younger talent millennials, that is a blatant slap in the face. Like, them not trying to grab the brass ring. Let me start off by saying that I am sick of the brass ring talk. Like, that has been, like, that shit has now worked its course, and we all know it's not true, because those millennials that Vince, you know, that Vince is calling them.
And he's talking about the future of his company when he's saying that, and he's putting them down.
He doesn't realize that shit like that will end up hurting him in the long run. Because he's look, like I said, Cena ain't got that much time left. And when he leaves, who are they going to make the face? If he's too busy bashing the younger talent, these millennials, then I don't blame the millennials for not wanting to step their game up if they know that every time that they try, they're going to be downgraded and eventually let go. So I don't blame them for that. I think, look, here's what I think should happen. I think all of these, I think all the mid, the younger talent need to start a revolt. They need to start a revolution. And what I mean by start a revolution is not showing up.
That's not going to happen. That'll never happen.
Fucking out on it's going to happen. I know it's not going to happen. But it'll show that if these people just keep leaving and leaving and leaving, then in the long run, it's going to hurt Vince because he's going to need that guy, and when he doesn't have someone to, you know, if he doesn't have someone to lean on because he's bashed him so many times over the years, then I really feel for the younger talent because they are trying to grab this imaginary brass ring, and you can see it in guys like Cesaro, Dolph Ziggler, fucking, for me, I think Wade Barrett,
Bray
Wyatt, all of these guys, even the guys in NXT, they're trying to grab this brass ring, and Vince is just pulling it back, just tugging on it constantly.
Yeah, like in the ladder match where the ladder, the belt starts rising and rising and rising. It's like, come on, grab the ring, and he's just teasing
him. Yeah, like they're making it, they're like fucking lab rats, and it's sad. Like, I do not think that Vince needs to really stop this shit. Like, he really needs to start planning for the future now, and he needs to give these people their respect. So that's it.
Swagger and Rollins and Zack Ryder all commented on that brass ring thing. Swagger said, "This is an environment where literally hundreds of thousands of people want to be on this roster, and there's, what, 75 of us on top? To get here, you have to be very ambitious, but to stay here, you need even more. It takes a lot of drive and a lot of hard work. I can only speak for myself that I've gotten hungrier. As far as the rest of the locker room, you know it's tough, but you got to see the finish line, and sometimes that's hard to do."
There is no finish line.
No.
There is no finish line. That's what these younger guys and girls.
Swagger out of all people should know that.
Definitely. Of all people, Swagger should know this. This guy was a former world heavyweight champion. And then after that, look where his career went.
Exactly. And then he got hot for about a month, and then
It just went straight down again.
Same shtick again.
They need to go. These younger guys need to wake up and notice and realize it's just the game that's being played on them.
Definitely. Rollins wrote on Twitter, Rollins put, "No better way to grab the brass ring than to take out the so-called last guy to do just that. How's that for ambition?"
Yeah, but, you know, if you take out the last guy to grab it, it's not like Vince is going to all of a sudden give it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not going to give it to you.
The brass ring is all in Vince's head.
It is.
And the best one, Zack Ryder. "When my shoulder is healed and I come back, I'll grab that brass ring again, but nothing will stop me this time."
I really like Zack Ryder, but he also needs to wake up because he also, former United States champion, got hot, you know, a few years ago. He was a part of, you know, the young three, the three
upstate guys.
The three, you know, Punk and Daniel Brian.
Oh no, you're not talking about talking about Hawkins and oh, I always forget his name. Temperetta. You're talking about when they took that picture with Punk with the belt, Brian with the belt, and Ryder with the belt.
Yeah. Yeah. Those, like they were the big three, like, you know, of the WWE. Those guys, they were the guys. And you know, since then, he's like his career has just taken a straight downfall. Like I see pictures of Zack Ryder constantly on the internet, and he just looks fat and bloated and just tired, and like he doesn't look dedicated to wrestling anymore. And the WWE did that to him. He doesn't.
Yeah, it has to take a serious emotional toll on him, and I think that's showing physically.
Yeah. Like it's just like
I want Shane to come. Back. I want Shane back.
Shane McMahon.
But what they brought him up. I mean, I always like Shane. He's got like he understands what's cool, and he's creative. But according to Vince, Shane is doing his own thing in Japan, and I cracked up laughing because Shane's actually doing something in China. So Vince doesn't even know what country his own son's in.
He doesn't know anything. Vince has to go. Like Vince just really. At this point, wrestling, WWE needs just Vince to go. For all of us, for the better. It's just, you know, they use this fucking phrase all the time. Like, Vince leaving would be so best for business. For all of us. For the kids, and for the real wrestling fans like us. But mostly for us.
I'm going to take one quick break, and then we're going to hop right back into a little bit more, and then I'm going to wrap things up with you, and then I'm going to get to my interview with the voice of Wildcat Wrestling, Brett Landry. I'll be right back with Rage. Enjoying what you hear so far? Want to hear more of the Rexplex week after week? Send us feedback at therexplex@gmail.com. Tweet us at therexplex. Or join the Facebook group page www.facebook.com/TheRexPlex. Back, Rage, are you still with us?
Yep.
Sorry about that little interruption. My producer had to bust in while recording, while doing this show. Very professional for a producer to do. Bust in and be like, hey man, I know you're doing the show right now, and well, the thing is, I'm not going to really be able to finish helping you till later because my girlfriend's about to get off of work. I was like, duh, you didn't need to interrupt the show for that. So I had to throw in that reggae jingle. Hope you all follow me on Twitter and Facebook, add me on Facebook and all that shit. So what you got on your mind, man?
Well, really, I'm trying to think of what I can talk about.
Shoot, say what you can and say what you can't. Hold nothing back. This is an open forum for you.
Can we stop with the whole bunny shit? Can we stop with that shit?
I said that forever ago. In the opening of the show, when I talked about Raw, I'm like, these animals.
The bunny, the midget alligator, like, can we stop with that?
The sleeping cat. I wish they could have had...
The grumpy cat?
I wish they could have had Grizzly get in the ring that one time and have Honey Boo Boo run out, take him out, and do a big, like a Vader moonsault.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hurt animals, but please, man, just calm down with the alligators and the...
By the way, speaking of Grumpy Cat, I happened to watch her Christmas movie on Lifetime.
Was it as good as did you see Christmas Bounty with The Miz?
No, I saw it. That horrible piece of shit.
That was a shit movie.
That was a real piece of shit. That was the worst holiday movie I've ever watched. And it's like WWE seems to put out like terrible holiday movies. I bet this one that they got out with fucking Santino Marella and Larry the Cable Guy, like, that'll be, like, much better, you know, but stop with the bunny. Like, I'm not, like, you know, there's still people over the age of 18 that watch Raw, that watch SmackDown, like
no, and then, look, when they were at the Barclays Center, I think it was, when they had the, was it the Gator versus Torito, and the crowd was saying, this is stupid.
Yep.
I had friends in the crowd, and they told me that the kids were chanting, this is stupid.
Exactly.
So who's it for, then? It's some freak in the back who, like, is just into that type of thing?
He's getting his rocks off.
No one likes it. It's bad.
Yeah, even if your new target demographic says this is stupid, you got problems.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah,
one thing I wanted to say about what Austin said to Vince. Austin said the word wrestling. And Vince was like, no, this is sports entertainment, we tell stories. And Austin didn't look cool with that at all.
He really didn't.
You know?
He really didn't.
He's like, I've traveled up and down the road busting my ass, and you're not going to say I'm a wrestler, I'm an entertainer?
And I mean, entertainer is a very loose word.
Yeah.
I mean, he can mean an entertainer could be any number of things, but we should, like, Vince, this is why I say Vince has to go, because his mind is to sports entertainment.
Yeah.
But
he said he wants to make movies.
They're not good movies, not solid.
Well, the real movies he's making are horrible. He even said that in reference to to Raw, basically.
So if he knows his movies are bad, why does he continuously make them? Like, who is he expecting to buy this shit?
I don't know. Somebody, I mean, don't they have, like, intelligent people working for them who should be like, hey, you know, these movies are all pretty shitty. Maybe we should get more creative and come up with something better.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But no, you're getting Jingle All the Way too, with Larry the Cable Guy, who I, already...
What?
It's like...
I dislike
wait, it. Cause it, I really okay, wait. It. First, with the wrestlers... Like, about this isn't wrestling. I think I speak for most wrestlers, if not all, who bust their asses to do something that they dreamed about and they work so hard for. That is a slap in the face and an insult. Just think about any indie worker, any indie wrestler. If you heard him say that, and, like, that's what you strive to get to, is WWE, where they turn you from a wrestler to a sports entertainer. Mm-hmm. And then Austin ended up saying, well, it all comes down to what happens in the ring. And I was like, well, there you go. Then what does that really make you? I mean, wrestling is entertaining. You can be a wrestler and an entertainer, but, like, your main, you know, your main status should be...
He's a promoter.
Yeah. Vince is a...
He's a fucking promoter. That's his line of work.
And he wants to tell stories. But yo, like... Ah, shit. Wait, let me think of it like this. Yo, if McMahon's idea of telling stories during live-action television is bringing a sleeping cat to the ring, or having Larry the Cable Guy shirtless with a Rey Mysterio mask on running out there... His concept of entertainment is so fucking skewed, and it's beginning to either show his age, how out of touch he is, or both, and I think it's probably both.
I think he's already showing how out of touch and how... He's already showing his age and showing how out of touch he is. He's already showing it to me.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he it's already being seen, and as far as we know, nothing's being done about it. They're just letting him go.
Do you think this has anything to do with Vince is the biggest narcissist in the world that you will ever meet, and that he said when he dies, WWE will die?
He is such a narcissist. He is a narcissist.
So do you think he thinks he's dying soon? So he's letting it. But I don't know. You get so much good stuff at one point, and then it just drops so low, so fast. So I don't know, because WrestleMania was awesome. Was it Survivor Series?
Yeah.
Survivor Series was good.
Two out of what?
And SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, for the most part, was okay. I'll give it that. It was okay.
It wasn't a bad pay-per-view by any means.
It wasn't bad. It could have been better, but it wasn't bad. I think Vince should really... Not even Vince. I think WWE really should... A, get rid of the gimmick pay-per-views, which is what they're starting to do, and B, cut down on the number of pay-per-views.
Yeah, I mean, you only...
Not to four what TNA's doing.
Fucking, I mean, man, do nine. You can do...
Not... It's a good one. I would even say eight.
Eight was my original thought, actually.
I would even say eight, because you could still have your big four And, you know, you can have your pay-per-views here and there. They would be spread out over, what, like a two-month
yeah,
distance?
Yeah, man, yeah, but more time for story building is a good thing. If he wants to really tell stories.
Because it's showing that 3 weeks just isn't, 3, 4, maybe 5 weeks is just not enough for a sucky writing team like this.
It's not enough time for a build-up. I think a lot of people say, oh, that was a promotion for the TLC, the way that the Ambrose and Bray Wyatt match ended. But I think they knew they only had 3 weeks, and they needed to start building up before Monday. I mean, or a combination of the two.
I'm just saying.
Because they were advertising, they advertised that the match was happening like 30 minutes after the first match, their first match was over.
Yeah, man. Still, they don't have any plans for WrestleMania.
If they do, they're probably not. Could you imagine if they would... There was no way they could have, because the crowd was letting them know. But if the Batista and Orton really was the main event of WrestleMania 30, it could have been one of the worst WrestleManias of all time.
It really could.
And did you hear what I said about how you think they did WrestleMania to spite Punk because they made the perfect WrestleMania that Punk would have wanted?
Yeah.
You know, like Daniel Bryan.
I believe that too.
Daniel Bryan beating the odds. Daniel Bryan is CM Punk's buddy, and he's always had his back and always pushed for him. Daniel Bryan overcomes the odds and wins the world title. So he beats Triple H and beats Batista and Orton. Then his good close friend Cesaro wins the Battle Royal. His fiance AJ beats all other 12 divas on the roster in one match.
Yeah.
He said he wanted to be there when the streak was broken. Those are like all things that he was still like a fan for, and that all happened.
It was definitely a WrestleMania. It was a very spiteful WrestleMania towards Punk. It definitely was.
A lot of people say that's conspiracy theory when I say that, but I think
it's not.
That's too many coincidences in one thing.
You can't say it's a coincidence. And everything that Punk wanted to happen, everything that Punk wanted to be there for at WrestleMania, just so happened to happen when he was not there. So you can't call that a conspiracy.
Yeah,
I'm calling that WWE just being very dirty and cutthroat.
Yeah, and people act like this hasn't happened forever. Mm-hmm. That WWE would do something like this.
They're dirty.
WWE really intentionally messes with their fans.
They do.
Not that I'm going to stop watching. What other sport or TV show can do that? Where you're like, oh man, they're really fucking with me right now, but I'm not going to stop watching.
I would say for a short time for me, I would say the WNBA. No, not the NBA. Because if everybody knows, I do not like the Miami Heat at all. I didn't like them when they had LeBron. I didn't like them, period. So they just kept on winning and winning and winning. And I was on the fence where it's like, I was one of those conspiracy theorists that believe that the NBA is just surrounded on nothing but the Miami Heat. Like, that's their golden.
That's their Cena. That was their Cena. Yeah.
And they just kept on winning and winning, and they kept winning titles. It was like, you know.
You should have seen what it was like in Miami. I was in Miami during that time.
It's like they were fucking partying.
Yeah.
And I hate Miami Heat fans, by the way.
The next day, my friend was wearing a LeBron shirt.
When he went to Cleveland?
In Miami. My friend in Miami.
Oh, I get it.
He made an announcement for a battle event that was going on, and he was wearing a LeBron shirt. I'm like, the next day.
They're dirty. Like, Heat fans are dirty. They are. They are some phony motherfuckers. Like, did you see? Like, remember last year when it looked like the Miami Heat was gonna lose the NBA Finals?
Yeah.
To the Spurs, and Ray Allen made that shot. And remember, all of the people that were in the American Airlines Arena left because they thought they were gonna lose.
Yeah.
But they started to come back. Like, the Heat started to come back, and next thing you know, a whole bunch of Heat fans are trying to like rush back into the arena to see the rest of the game. They're banging on windows and shit, like trying to sneak their way in. It's like, what? Like, y'all thought you were going to lose.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to get the back in? That shows, like, what spoiled bitches the Miami Heat are. The Miami Heat fans are. I'm sorry, but y'all are spoiled bitches.
Shout out to all my Heat fans. Alright, yo.
Heat fans are like the kids I see off of My Super Sweet 16 on MTV.
Yes. Pure entitlement.
Yep.
Yo, I gotta get to this interview with the voice of Wildcat, Brett Landry. I appreciate having you on. I'm sure it'll be on a billion other times.
Yeah. No problem, man. It's always good to be on the Red Spikes. I love this show. It's fucking awesome.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thanks for being on, dude. Take it easy.
You too, man.
What is good, everybody? Welcome back to the Rexplex. I am here with the voice of Wildcat Wrestling himself, Brett Landry. Brett, how are you doing, man? It's great to have you on the show.
Pretty good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So can you tell people a little bit about yourself who aren't familiar with you?
Sure, absolutely. My name is Brett Landry, born in New Orleans, raised in Metairie, lived here in Metairie my whole life. And for the last 3+ years, I have been a ring announcer, an interviewer, a broadcaster, a commentator, a host, all that good stuff for Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, which is based in New Orleans, Louisiana. It is the biggest professional wrestling federation on the independent scene that Louisiana has ever...
Ever. And the best. It is the best.
Huge.
And the best. Yes.
It is the best independent wrestling in the Gulf South, in my personal opinion. I haven't seen anybody that has kicked it better than us.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry. No, you can keep going. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off so early.
No. I mean, it's just the best thing that's going down here today. There's not really a lot of high-quality sports entertainment going on down here in, anywhere in the Gulf South. And that's what Wildcat has become. That's what we've created. So a lot of the wrestling down here really isn't all that phenomenal. So we decided to shake things up a bit.
Yeah, and you have young, exciting talent. You have great shows, great cards from top to bottom. You bring in guys, and you don't just bring in any old random former WWF or WWE star. You bring in somebody that means something.
Oh, yeah. Name value is very important. The whole philosophy behind that in the independent scene is if you've never heard of us before, you're going to come for that big superstar name you've heard of, but then you're going to stay for the homegrown talent that we put on display. And that's, you know, why Wildcat has the school. We got the school. We train guys from the ground up to be the future of pro wrestling.
Yes, and y'all are doing a hell of a job. So you and I go way back. You were the energetic young guy I could relate to at work because we both had a passion for the same thing.
Yeah.
That's all you got to say about that?
Man, you know, it was a lifetime ago.
It was. It really does feel like a lifetime ago.
You know, it's people like you and me and anybody else that has ambition, you got to think about it. You know, you can't just stay stagnant in one place, especially a restaurant like that.
Yeah, definitely.
For too long. You got to do something to break out and get ahead. And for a long time, I was contemplating moving. I thought I would have to move out of Louisiana. I thought I would have to move out of my beloved home state and home city. I love New Orleans.
I know that.
I thought I was going to have to leave, man. I thought I was going to have to go to either Cali or Florida and try to explore my options in pro wrestling there. And then all of a sudden, poof, Wildcat pops up, and it's like all my prayers are answered. It was all right here in my hometown, and it was just time to take the ball and run with it. You find an opportunity like that, that's once in a lifetime, man.
Well, that's awesome, man, because as a diehard supporter of wrestling, you know that. You've been knowing that about me.
Yeah.
That's just an awesome thing to happen. And when I saw you were involved with Wildcat, I couldn't have been more thrilled with you. And that's one thing that I admire about you is your tenacity and your resolve, because you told me at that particular restaurant that you had no doubt you would find your place in the business. And now you are what I would consider a local treasure. So...
Thank you.
Yeah. So would you attribute to staying on that path and not looking back, was that just your inherent love for wrestling, or just that you knew what you wanted to do and you were going to do it?
You know, to be honest with you, it's actually both.
That's what I was going to say. I actually had the last or a combination was the end of that question.
It's definitely both. I mean, I've known my whole life, ever since I started watching wrestling, that was exactly exactly what I wanted to be involved in. That's what I wanted to do. I'm not an athlete. I'm definitely not an athletic guy.
Okay, I can scratch.
I never have been.
I can scratch that question off.
I've always been a good talker, and I've always been a smart guy who is pretty creative.
Yeah, you're creative, and you have a very a fun-loving type of personality.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's what made the job so fun.
I try to keep it positive, you know? And I felt like all of those things were things that I could offer at some sort of position in the wrestling industry. And turns out, luckily for me, I was correct. And that's just, you know, it's just a growth process for years. Learning how to do different things and learning more about the business and learning different aspects of in front of the camera and behind the camera, just, you know, to kind of put my fingers in a few different pots, so to speak, to make sure that I know the ins and outs of wrestling, but when not being an actual performer in the ring.
I have one kind of odd question. Did you study any Joey Styles?
You know what's really funny? I wouldn't say that I studied Joey Styles, but I did watch Joey Styles, and I learned a lot from Joey Styles, because when Wildcat first started, Wildcat was an NWA territory, just like ECW was way back in the day, and Joey Styles was doing solo commentary for ECW, just as I
yeah, just as you were
solo commentary for Wildcat.
Yeah.
So it's they actually kind of coincided, which is pretty funny. I've gotten a lot of Joey Styles comparisons.
Have you? I've just noticed by certain mannerisms and the way you can the way you add. You alone adds to a match by some facial expressions you make, and that's so reminiscent of Joey Styles. So that's why I had that question.
No, thanks. I could only hope to be half as good as Joey Styles ever was.
Yeah, he's awesome, man.
Definitely one of my favorites.
Okay, the Revolution Rumble was a huge success. Would you agree with that?
I actually think the phrase huge success is an understatement.
Okay.
It absolutely annihilated our expectations.
And was the count around 800 plus?
It was. I don't have an exact number, but I do know that it was somewhere over 800. I think it was somewhere between 850. Probably, I want to say in the 820s. I can't exactly remember, but either way, it was over 800, and that was way more than we had expected. It was the highest attended show that we've ever put on.
Yeah, you blew TNA out the water, definitely.
Yeah, it was TNA house shows.
And you know what? I've been to near 200, 300 events, and that particular show, that's in my top five most enjoyable shows that I've been to. And that was right here in Metairie.
Thank you very much. That's awesome of you to say. Thank you.
And just out of curiosity, now that Bestia Say is the Revolution champion, can we expect to see him on a more frequent basis?
You absolutely can. Not only can you expect to see Bestia on a more frequent basis, but it is my understanding that his Wildcat Revolution Championship win has also attracted the attention of a few of his fellow luchadors in Mexico. And they are very interested in trying their hand at the Revolution title. And I do have information on one guy that will be coming in January for our next couple of shows. I can't tell you who it is yet, but I can tell you that his bloodline runs very deep in pro wrestling. And you see or have seen his cousin very, very, very high profile on television for the last number of years.
I have an idea who you're talking about, but I'm not gonna even say anything.
That's
awesome, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Well, and then of course there was the whole Booker T thing.
I was gonna get to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what's up with Booker T turning on us?
Well, so the idea was, the plan was, that Booker T and Luke Hawks, who is the owner and founder of Wildcat, were going to start a business relationship. You know, Luke has Wildcat here, and then Booker T has the ROW, the Reality of Wrestling, out in Houston, Texas. We both have promotions that we run on a regular basis. We both have schools where we train new talent from the ground up. You know, I mean, and we do phenomenal shows with high production values and lots of attendance. And, I mean, we're just very, very popular in our areas. So when you look at the Gulf Coast market and you look along the Gulf South and look at all the independent wrestling federations that they have out here, obviously, again, Wildcat is statistically the biggest and largest in Louisiana, not just currently, but in the last 20-some-odd years. And then the closest to us, like physically the closest wrestling federation of the same quality, would be ROW.
Yes.
So we were like, all right, this will be a perfect opportunity. So Luke and Booker got the chance to catch up on an independent show. I'm not sure exactly which one, but they were backstage together. They talked, and they set up what was supposed to be an awesome business deal. And I don't know what Booker T was thinking. I don't know what his ulterior motives were, but Booker T has decided to now use this business partnership as leverage. And he turned his back on Wildcat just as soon as he shook hands with Wildcat. I really don't know what else to say, but I do know is that Booker T will be sending more of his guys to New Orleans and to Wildcat shows. So Wildcat is definitely going to be sending our guys over to his shows. And if it's not going to be, you know, just a play nice working relationship, if he wants to throw down and he wants it to go down that way, then it'll be an invasion. He'll get exactly what he wants. And
yes,
then we'll embarrass ROW and prove to them that Wildcat's the best in the Gulf Coast. I mean, that's what he wants, it looks like. So that's what Booker T is going to get, Hall of Fame or not.
Because immediately after the Revolution Rumble event, I had him recorded making a statement saying, hey, we're not trying to getting out of anybody's business or really mess with anyone too much. It's all about business, baby. It's all about business. And when you get physical, I think it's, you know, you're taking it beyond business.
That's definitely way more than business.
Yeah.
Maybe Booker T took it a little too far. Business relationship was going to be Wildcat just, you know, laying down and putting his guys over.
And you know that Wildcat guys, and just coming to New Orleans and doing that, that's not something that we're going to let fly.
Absolutely not. I mean, like I said, if that's his idea of business, and they want to try and make a name for themselves here in New Orleans, just that's not going to be the way that it goes down. We'll go in there. We're just like they came in our backyard. We'll go in their backyard and we'll show them a thing or two.
I'm
very confident in that. Hall of Famer or not.
Can I ask you, how old were you when you started watching?
When I started watching wrestling, wow.
Yes.
Let's see. Well, I started watching wrestling with WCW.
Mm-hmm.
I was 12 in 2001 when WCW went out of business. I would say I probably started watching wrestling in about 1994 or 1995 when I was about 5 or 6 years old. That sounds about right. And I started watching it with my dad. It had to be 1995 because it was Nitro. I started watching wrestling with Nitro. My dad was flicking through the channels, and he happened to stop on Nitro because he used to watch wrestling off and on when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, it amused him for a minute. And he just left it on, and I was in the same room as him, and we watched it together. And he didn't really, you know, he wasn't like a huge wrestling fan or anything. It was more of just like a brief moment of amusement for him. But then I watched it again next week. And the next week, and the next week, and so on and so forth, and that was pretty much it. And the older I got, the more wrestling I watched, not just the current stuff, but eventually I got to an age where I got curious, and I was like, well, what happened before 1995, and then I started watching
That's what a lot of fans these days lack. That's the exact same thing I did.
Yeah.
I don't think fans these days are doing that.
You got to know what came before to appreciate where you're headed. At least that's my philosophy.
No, it couldn't be more true.
And then, as I got older and started looking at that stuff, then I started thinking, well, I wonder if there's any other kind of wrestling out there. And then that's when I discovered the independents and started looking at all of those and realizing that there was amazing wrestling with phenomenal athletes that was going on without television. They were going on in, you know, different cities across America and across the world. They weren't on TV or there was no YouTube at the time. They were just doing their thing, and they were doing it great. But not a lot of eyes were on those particular products. And that's when I really started to gain an appreciation for the independents. And I thought the independents were going to be the future of the business. And obviously now we're looking at that, and you see that that's true.
Oh, yes, definitely. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at guys like Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, or as some of your listeners might remember them, Bryan Danielson and Tyler Black and Jon Moxley. These guys that made such a name for themselves in the independent circuit. Brody Lee, who is now Luke Harper, Intercontinental Champion.
Back when we first met, were you watching ROH?
I was.
Because you had the scoop on Matt Sydal coming in.
Yes, I did.
You were the one who told me that.
Yeah, I knew that Matt Sydal had gotten signed by WWE, and he was heading to, I think, their relaunched ECW brand at the time as Evan Bourne. And now he has gone back to being, once again, Matt Sydal in ROH. So it's funny, the circle of life there, where it kind of starts, you know, you start your career and you finish your career out on the independents. Not that Matt Sydal's career is finished by any stretch of the imagination, because it is most certainly not.
But, no, definitely not.
You know, a lot of people think that WWE is the holy grail, is the end all be all sports entertainment.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, that is very, very true. A lot of folks, I mean, really, truth be told, if you're a wrestler and you're in this business and you don't want to be the WWE heavyweight champion of the world, probably shouldn't be a pro wrestler. I mean, that's everybody's goal, pretty much, you know. But just because WWE is the international, like, global juggernaut that it is, doesn't necessarily mean that that's the only place that you can go. Is it the only place you can go to make a six-figure living in pro wrestling? Absolutely. But it's not the only place that you can go and have a national or international spotlight put on you. I mean, again, places like ROH, and my fingers are crossed for Impact. Hopefully their reboot in 2015 does well for them.
Yeah, I hope for the best. I really hope for the best with that.
Yeah, definitely so. I mean, and then New Japan, who just made two huge announcements this past week. New Japan Pro Wrestling announcing that they're having their first ever English-dubbed American television deal. They're going to have an hour a week on Access TV.
Yes, I've heard that.
That's major, right?
Yes, huge.
And then they announced NJPW World, which is the New Japan WWE Network. It'll be, instead of $10, it'll be $8.50 American. And it's just like WWE Network, but it's all of New Japan's content from 1972 to now.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
And that's huge, too. And they're a major company, and they have a huge working relationship with Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, Wrestle Kingdom. I'm looking so forward to Wrestle Kingdom and watching a New Japan show called in English.
It's blowing up. It's blowing up in a way that people had never realized before. You got guys from New Japan like Hideo Itami and Finn Balor, who, of course, a lot of people remember as Prince and Prince Devitt. They're in NXT now, and I mean, so people are starting to take notice of New Japan in the United States for the first time in a mainstream way like they never have before. So it all goes back to it. The independents, regardless of where they're at, just because you're not WWE doesn't mean that you're not huge. And, you know, they're making splashes in big ways, just like Wildcat has been doing.
Yeah, speaking on the indies, besides Wildcat, of course, do you have a favorite indie promotion?
Ooh, that's a very good question. When WrestleCon came to New Orleans...
yes, sir, front row.
Yeah, we got a chance to work with a few of the independents that were out here. You know, ROH and Evolve and Dragon Gate USA and CZW and Chikara.
Was that weekend not a blast?
Those guys are...
That was surreal.
They're definitely for real athletes.
Yeah.
That's really hard for me to say. I feel like that group that came down here for WrestleCon, mm-hmm. those are like the elite of the independents, you know?
Well, yeah, you had just the opening match with Trevor Lee, Andrew Everett, and Cedric Alexander. That was just... They set the pace.
Yeah. They did the super show. The mm-hmm. super show. That was incredible, too. Because that was all of those elite independents, kind of like their best of guys, all mushed together into one show. That was great. And a few names were in there, too. That was just a great thing to be a part of. To have Wildcat's name listed alongside ROH and CZW and Evolve and Dragon Gate, to have Wildcat be mentioned amongst those elite independents is not just huge for us. That is a huge thing for the Gulf South, too.
Oh, yeah. I was proud to when I finally saw the DVD to hear Matt Stryker call a Buku Dao and Bald Brady match.
Yeah. And Matt Stryker was actually in the Wildcat-branded match from that super show.
Mm, that's true. That's true.
That six-man match, yeah.
He actually yelled at me. He yelled at me for yelling, Luke. He's like, what's so special about the guy?
it's so great. Just being a part of all that was fantastic. So it's what we're really doing is showing that all of the awesome independent pro wrestling isn't just in the North.
Yeah,
you can find it in the South, too. And, you know, it's again, to be listed amongst those guys is great. So if I had to pick a favorite independent, I would have to, unfortunately, split my choice between all of those high-ranking elites there. I mean,
I know exactly what you mean. I was there for all of that. It was great.
And if anybody hasn't seen anything from WrestleCon this past year in New Orleans,
just Evolve, ROH.
Yeah, it was ROH, Evolve, Dragon Gate USA,
Dragon Gate,
CW.
But I had it was Mercury Rising, Evolve 28, Shimmer.
Shimmer Women's Wrestling and Shine Women's Wrestling were down here too.
The Super Show was great.
Now, Chikara would have been down here if they weren't on hiatus at the time.
Yeah.
Instead, we got Kaiju Big Battle.
Yeah, I didn't go to Kaiju Big Battle.
Yeah, if you're a wrestling fan, chances are you will not enjoy Kaiju Big Battle.
It's a very niche type of... Some people even say hipsterish.
I'll put it to you this way. Like I said, if you're a wrestling fan, you're probably not going to like it. If you like Mystery Science Theater 3000, or if you like any just old, cheesy Japanese monster movies like the old Godzilla ones and stuff, then you will definitely like Kaiju Big Battle.
Yeah, it's that come to life in the ring, with little buildings all over.
That's very strange. But yeah, that would be it.
Something I wanted to ask you was, do you have any one particular match or wrestler that you introduced or whose match you called that meant the most to you or had a nostalgic effect on you growing up?
I'm going to be honest with you. Not a wrestler, no. But a manager.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course.
I had the very, very fortunate privilege of being able to work with Percy Pringle III, who most people from WWE fans, they'll know him as Paul Bearer. He was a member of the NWA Championship Committee when Wildcat was first instated. And then Wildcat's first four shows, we had an interim general manager. But Percy was a guest on all four of those shows. The interim general manager kind of disappeared, and the National Wrestling Alliance put Percy in charge of Wildcat as a management representative. Very plain and simple, Paul Bearer was our GM, and that was amazing. We got to work with him. He was always Percy. He was always Percival Pringle III until he managed the tag team of Gangrel and Wes Adams.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. That was a good match. The final match of Rough and Ready as well.
You had Rough and Ready's parents in the crowd crying.
Yeah.
I had the unfortunate spot of sitting next to them.
Natural in that match. And he reverted back to being Paul Bearer for that particular match at ringside, and then, unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to work with him again until his untimely passing.
Yeah, it was soon after that, and I want to thank you guys and Wildcat for having him there so I got to talk to him one last time while he was still on this earth. That wouldn't have been possible if it wasn't for y'all, so... It was awesome to have him there.
And then, look, the pleasure was all ours. The way that we were able to bring him, put him in touch with our fans, and he loved coming down to Wildcat. He really, really did.
Oh, I know he loves New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, he definitely loves New Orleans. He thought the drinks were really strong down here, and he liked it. But it's meeting Percy, Mr. William Moody, meeting him, and getting the chance to work with him. You know, of course, I grew up watching him on TV, like I mentioned before, you know, seeing him with The Undertaker and Mankind and Vader and Kane. And then to work with him on a professional level, to call him my co-worker for a period of time, and then to be some 10 feet away from his casket at his funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that really put my journey in pro wrestling up to that point in perspective.
Oh, definitely. I can only imagine.
It was a major, major moment for me.
It must have been such an honor for you to work with him.
A huge honor.
So few fans know what all the things that he's done in his reputation and the things that, how committed he is. And
he was the first guy we brought in, really. He was that first big name.
Yeah.
It was an honor to have him around. He loved being around. After Percy, I wasn't starstruck by anyone else. Because eventually, you know, wrestling is a business. You know, it's a professional environment. You have fun, you have a great time, but, you know, it's a very professional atmosphere that's kept in the locker room. So you don't see them as, oh, it's this guy that was on TV and this guy that I used to watch. You see them as coworkers. Every so often, a little glimmer comes through, and you're like, man, this is really cool.
Yeah.
But that fades away just as quick as it comes.
Mm-hmm.
But the only time that never faded away was with Paul Bearer.
So I don't know where to go from there exactly.
Sorry, man. I sure do miss him, though.
Hell of a man.
Well, I mean, I can tell you this. I can tell you that Wildcat wouldn't exist, obviously, without Luke Hawks. And Luke Hawks, being the owner and the founder and the head trainer at the school, his idea and his vision, the way he was able to plant the seed, and then the way all of us, the workers and the fans and everybody, have been able to, I guess, kind of water that seed, so to speak.
Yeah.
Wildcat has grown into a hell of a something.
Well, on this show, we actually refer to Luke as the King of New Orleans. And so I want to ask you, how did you initially establish your relationship with Luke Hawks, the King of New Orleans?
Now, that is a funny story. So, Luke Hawks hated me.
Of course.
So, let me start at the beginning. WSX, Wrestling Society X,
Yes.
Was a very short-lived experiment, so to speak, on MTV.
They blew Luke up. He exploded.
It did. It did, very much so, yes. And I watched WSX, of course, as a wrestling fan, and I noticed that they had this guy on there with a mohawk and a fleur-de-lis and a dice and said he was from New Orleans. I was like, oh, that's cool. I didn't put two and two together in my head and realize that he was, in fact, the famous deathmatch artist, Altar Boy Luke.
Yeah.
Didn't realize they were the same person until shortly
from XPW,
after.
Yeah.
Yeah, back XPW back in the day. Which, again, was, yeah, I just didn't realize that connection was there. But anyway, so WSX did its thing. And Wrestling Society X didn't have a website. They had a MySpace, because MySpace was still a thing.
Yeah.
And there, you know how you could put, like, your top eight on MySpace?
Yeah.
Well, they had, like, a custom profile that you put the top whatever, like the top however many people. And WSX's MySpace, their top friends were all of the wrestlers on the show, like all the personalities. And mm-hmm. I had MySpace, and I saw Luke Hawks, and I was like, oh, hey, Luke Hawks, he's from here. So I added him on MySpace. And I think maybe we spoke, once or twice, nothing, you know, nothing big. But it turns out that he was working in New Orleans. He did movie stunts and things like that, but he was also a bouncer when he wasn't wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a friend of mine who knew the bar where he bounced at, and I went with my friend to that bar, and I hung out with Luke for a little while, and I talked to him, and we exchanged phone numbers. And then, this is where I fucked up. messed up, I'm sorry.
Oh, you can, it's okay.
Yeah, so, not only did I add Luke on that MySpace, but I also added pretty much everybody else. And I didn't keep in touch with any of them, obviously, because I was just a fan, and they weren't going to have a personal relationship with a fan. But two of them, two of those guys I actually do still keep in touch with, one more than the other. One of the guys was a wrestler by the name of Marcus Riott, who was on one episode of the show. And then the other was the ring announcer, Fabian Kalin.
Yeah.
Who, real name Ryan Tass, actually works now for NXT. And fun fact, Wildcat's original website was designed by Ryan Tass of NXT. So that's a fun fact for you trivia junkies out there.
Yeah, you're giving us a lot of good stuff.
Marcus Riott, I worked at another restaurant at this particular point of time, and he was a friend of mine, and it turns out that Luke was doing a show. This was in October of 2010. Luke was throwing his very first show. It was on a military base in Belchase, Louisiana, and I wanted to help in any way I could because I saw this as my major opportunity to get into the wrestling business.
You had been looking for a way in the door.
Exactly.
And through all this craziness, you somehow found it.
Yeah, and now I found it. I was like, this is perfect. You know, Luke and I have been talking. He knows who I am. So what I said was, Marcus Riott, I was going to pay for his plane ticket for him to fly here and fly back. He was going to crash at my parents' place with me because we had a spare room.
Mm-hmm.
He would only be there for like a night. So then he would come in, we would drive up to the show together. I would go check out the show for free. He would wrestle in the show, get paid, we'd drive back. And then, boom, he goes to the airport in the morning, and that's it. Game over. So I thought that would be perfect because I booked a guy to come in for Luke's show, and it was going to be awesome. Well, I didn't have the tip share that I expected that week. If anybody listening in the restaurant industry knows, sometimes you get screwed out of tips, and it ain't fun, and you get stiff, and it sucks. So the money that I had anticipated making, I did not make. So I was now too broke after bills to be able to fly Marcus Riott in. Now, I told Marcus, and he completely understood. He was like, that sucks, it's cool, don't worry about it. And he and I still chat every so often. He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
I told Luke that I wasn't able to do it, and Luke was pissed. show, and then he straight up cold turkey stopped talking to me. So I realized that I had made like a major mistake, right?
Yeah, you don't want to piss Luke off.
Right, he is not the kind of guy you want to piss off. So I realized I had made a major mistake. By this point, we had transitioned to Facebook. So I sent Luke a Facebook message once a week for about 3 or 4 months solid. Just asking him, annoying him on purpose to try and get him to respond to me, because I knew that he was my shot here in my hometown to get into the business. And then I finally started getting dejected since he would not respond to me. Weeks had gone by.
That's what I said earlier about you, man. Your tenacity. You have tenacity.
Stubbornness, whatever you want to call it.
All together, yeah. It's just a big cluster of it all.
I finally sent that one last message. I was just kind of done, and I felt like I had exhausted all of my options. So I was like, all right. Even if you tell me to go screw myself and go away and crawl up in a corner and die, I just need you to tell me something so I know where to go and I know how to move on. I want to work in this industry, and if you're not going to be the one that helps me get into it, then I need to start finding who will be. And lo and behold, Luke Hawks responded to me. And Luke Hawks said, I am opening a pro wrestling school at the end of June. This was in 2011. He said, you know, we're starting on such and such a date. Come by. And I showed up, and he told me that he was pissed off at me for a while, but he read every single one of the messages that I sent to him. He understood that I made a mistake. He understood that it was, for the most part, out of my control, but I overstepped my bounds only because it was a lesson that I still needed to learn. He appreciated my tenacity and my determination, like you mentioned.
Yes.
And that was it. He shook my hand and brought me on board to Wildcat. And I started out pretty much being the pro wrestling equivalent of a towel boy on a football team. Like, instead of running guys water and, you know, giving them towels, I would, like,
wipe down the ropes.
Yeah, wipe down the ropes.
Those type of things.
Sweep up the school. And if somebody needed something, I would drive to the store and go get it. And, you know, I was a gopher, right?
Yeah.
I worked my way from there to now, again, about 3.5 years later. Being,
like I said, you're a local treasure. You are the voice of Wildcat, a man of many talents.
Yes, in front of the camera, yes, but behind the camera.
That as well. I had that written down about you as well.
What's that?
That you, it was a question originally about how fans don't, know how it is as a fan outside looking in, then when you're in the business and you're actually behind the scenes and there's so much more that goes down that you don't realize as a viewer from the outside.
So much more. So much more. And that's actually, you know what, that is actually the second part of that story. If you want to take a second part to it, essentially, I was a gopher, and Wildcat was going to throw the first show that we ever did. It was in November of 2011, and yours truly was going to be the head of the merch table. I was going to sit at the merch table, and I was going to, you know, sell T-shirts and programs and all that good stuff. Well, it's about, it's coming up to showtime, and Luke asked me, hey, what do you think about being a ring announcer and hosting the show? And I was like, sure, because I sure as hell wasn't going to turn down an opportunity, but I'd also never spoken in front of a crowd like that before, and I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. So I feverishly wrote note cards on index cards and went out there, cold, clammy hands and a dry mouth, but somehow I made my way through it. And honestly, the rest is history. My position in front of the camera started to when we did the web series and, you know, interviews and commentary and stuff. And like I said, now the position that I'm in, I'm still doing all of that same stuff, and now I'm Luke's right hand.
Yeah.
The second in command of Wildcat. He runs the ship.
That's a hell of a story. I just bumped into Luke once when he was skinny at an ECW show.
Yeah.
That's my story, how I met Luke. That's it.
Yeah, that was did he do a dark match, or was he ring crew, or?
He was there as a fan, I think. This was way, way back.
Because I know he, in 2001...
This was before November to Remember at UNO.
Okay. Yeah. Right when ECW was getting ready to shut down, Luke was actually doing some ring crew stuff for them, and I think worked a dark match or two right before they shut out. There's another fun trivia fact. Luke Hawks did, in the very, very dying days of ECW, like within the last few months, work with them a little bit. Never on, you know, TV or DVD or anything like that. But all dark matches for ECW, so check that out.
All right, we're about to wrap this up. Can we speak on Buku?
We can, yes.
Just a little bit.
We can.
Because there's some people who are curious.
Okay.
Just what can you tell me about what's going on with Buku Dao?
So, what I can tell you is that Buku Dao went to a combine at the WWE Performance Center. And was very well liked by the officials there, and they called him and they made him an offer. And of course, we didn't want to see him go. But as I touched on at the beginning of the interview, for a lot of people, that's the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
So
I mean, we went to school with the dude. I'm not sure if you were there at the same time as him or not.
Which school? Our school?
Yeah.
You came to visit, right? Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about high school.
Oh, Buku?
Yeah.
Buku went to high school in Baton Rouge.
That's what I thought, but it says Grace King on his Facebook.
There's a lot of things on Buku's Facebook.
I love his Facebook.
Don't believe a lot of the stuff.
What he posted earlier today, I've been waiting a long time to say this. It was just a big picture that said this.
Yeah, he's a character. Don't believe everything he put up there.
Okay.
He's a hell of a guy, and he got a great opportunity. And like I said, we didn't want to see him go, but it's time.
Yeah, I had talked to him off and on since I first went to the school.
Yeah.
And they were shooting the reality show type thing.
Right.
And they had the guy who he couldn't get his boot all the way up on the top rope, so he had to throw his face into my boot with the boot lazily hanging on the second rope.
Yeah, he's a little guy. He's a shorter fella. But I mean, he's going to do very, very well wherever he goes.
Yeah, but he's awesome. Ton of charisma, exploding with charisma.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Yeah. And hopefully that's going to take him very far in this business. Whether it's WWE or anywhere else, whatever opportunity that he gets, you know, or any of our guys from Wildcat, because, of course, that's the goal, to bring you to bigger and better things.
Of course.
Hopefully he's going to do just as well as he's done with us.
Yeah, and I couldn't be more proud of him.
No, same thing goes for all of us.
So, I mean, you mentioned earlier, but what's the word on upcoming events? Do you have a date set? I think you mentioned a date earlier.
Yes, I'm glad that you asked. Friday and Saturday night, January 23rd and 24th, we're doing the first ever Wildcat sequel show. It is going to be New Year's Resolution 2. It is going to be a two-night event. The first night is going to take place in Slidell, Louisiana, which is only the second time we've ever done a show in Slidell. And then the second night will take place once again in our backyard, once again at Meisler Middle in Metairie. The big idea for this particular show is that, unfortunately, our heavyweight champion had to relinquish his title at our last event.
That was something I wanted to ask you, though. Wait, sorry to cut you off, but
no, that's okay.
Is he no longer the champion? Because I felt it was kind of up in the air because he walked out with the belt.
He did hand the title over to Booker T, who is the guest general manager for the night.
Okay.
Thankfully for the night, not permanently.
Yeah.
But no.
So Matt is going to be out for possibly a year?
Possibly a year, yes. Okay. He has an injury, if you look it up, called O'Donohue's Triad. Essentially, that means that he has a torn ACL, a torn MCL, and a torn meniscus. He has all three of those tears in his, I believe it is, his left knee.
I hate to hear that as a big supporter of Matt.
Yeah, and it's a damn shame, too, because he has come such a long way. He has become such an outstanding powerhouse, head and shoulders above everybody else.
He's a homegrown world champion.
He is. He has become the ace of Wildcat, and since Wildcat is the biggest wrestling company in the state, and Matt was the heavyweight champion, he was the best pro wrestler in Louisiana for the time that he was holding that belt. And he would have held the belt for much, 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 much longer if it wasn't for, you know, those old nagging injuries catching up to him. And then finally, Steve Anthony, Minotaur, and Hardbody Harper turning their back on Matt. Jealous of his title win, crushing his knee with a chair. Awful, awful stuff. But, unfortunately, he is out. And he'll be out for the better part of a year. Hopefully shorter, potentially longer. We hope it's not going to be longer than a year, but he did have to vacate the heavyweight championship. So that means that we have to crown a new heavyweight champion. So that is going to be the focal point of our New Year's Resolution 2 double shot event at the end of January in 2015. We're going to have a King of the Ring style tournament, 8 men, straight up old school classic wrestling tournament style. And the winner will be the second night, the second show. You'll be able to see all the qualifying matches of the first event, and we're going to crown our new heavyweight champion.
That sounds awesome. I love tournaments.
It's going to be awesome.
I love tournaments.
January 23rd and 24th.
I'll be at both of them.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. I don't miss a Wildcat show.
And you know what? There's no good reason that you should or anybody else that's listening.
Thank you.
$10.
You know, I've actually a lot of listeners who had never heard of Wildcat have started going who live in this area from hearing this show.
That's phenomenal.
And it surprised me that there were people who didn't know about it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're listening right now and you've never been to a Wildcat show, go. It's $10. You see wrestling superstars from WWE, WCW, ECW, TNA, ROH. We've got homegrown talent straight from our school, which is a block away from the Dome, by the way. In a huge facility.
Nice facility. Real nice facility.
Amazing. Beautiful stuff. I mean, we are the best. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I'm not blowing smoke.
I can't disagree with you there. I've been saying it. You are the hands down the best in the South. There's no debate.
It's all quality, man. We do the best that we can. We bust our ass to put on the best possible show that we can put on, and we do. Every single time. We run one show every about 6 to 8 weeks. So we do about 6 or 7 shows a year. We've done, I think it's 21 shows now. And the 22nd and 23rd shows that we're going to be doing are going to be at the end of January. You can't miss it. You just can't afford to miss it. It's high quality entertainment. It's inexpensive. And it is revolutionizing independent wrestling on the Gulf Coast.
Couldn't agree more. I got one more question, and then we have to roll out.
Sounds good.
Would you be willing to come back on this program?
Of course. Anytime you need me, man.
Okay, plug everything and anything you need to, if you haven't already.
Yeah, no problem. WildcatSports.com, and then Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.com/WildcatSports, as well as Instagram.com/WildcatSports now. Check out Wildcat on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for all the social media stuff, pictures, articles, all that good jazz. The Wildcat Sports website is where you're going to go to order your tickets online. WildcatSports@gmail.com is where you can email us with any questions. Or if you're interested in becoming a student, if you want to be a pro wrestler, tuition information will shortly be on our website. I believe we're getting that updated very soon. And you'll be able to email the Gmail account with any questions for that. And then YouTube is going to have all of our promos and vignettes and our web series and all the good stuff that you're not going to be able to catch anywhere else but there. Our Wildcat DVDs. We've made two compilation DVDs. One's very old, one's more updated. And we'll be making a DVD of all of our major events. We've got a Hawks versus Hardy event DVD in the works. And we've got, of course, the Revolution Rumble DVD in the works. All of our major shows every year are going to be put on DVD. And that's pretty much it. I mean, we are the highest quality pro wrestling that this state has seen in over 20 years. And we're here to change the way that Gulf Coast pro wrestling is looked at and perceived. And we're well on our way.
Yeah, if you're not already there, you're only going to evolve and progress more because you guys are definitely on a roll. All right, Brett, man, it was an honor to have you on the program. I look forward to having you back sometime.
I absolutely would love to. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. You have a good night.
All right, good night, man. Thanks.
Good night. There you have it, everyone. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Brett Landry, a great, great wrestling mind. There was a lot of good insight in that interview. I'm going to have to push back some of the indie talk till next week, but I had to say this. You can listen to this show, The Rexplex, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure you listen to The Rant every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. on Wednesday. The Wrestling Call-In Show with William Morgan, 11 p.m. on Saturday. And on Sundays, you get the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer at 5 p.m. If you have Stitcher, search Rant EM. Do yourself a favor. Click on the Rant EM logo. Listen on the TuneIn app live. Whatever you do, just, you know, enjoy yourself. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Signing off. This is Rex Watson. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Rexplex. Stay positive. Love your lives. Take care of yourselves and someone else. I will be back next week.
Cause I never done disco. Valentine Disco. Disco.